And welcome back to the BST YouTube show. Penn State might finally freaking have a head coach. Maybe. We'll see. Potentially. As always, your host, Patrick Kerber. We have a full house tonight. We have Tim Aiden, we have Jarrett Slinia, and we have former BSD writer Clay Surtig, all joined tonight to discuss the news of a potential hire for Penn State. According to all reports, most notably Pete Thamel of ESPN, Penn State is finalizing a deal with Matt Campbell. I will just say right off the jump, I was really, really hoping, because Tim and I were talking earlier this afternoon about, do we go live, don't we go live? I was really hoping that we would have like the, they have agreed to terms like fully by this point. We do not. We still decided to go live. And just want to point out that like the Satake stuff was hit with the Satake is the focus. So we are past the is the focus part. That was the tweet we got yesterday from Thamel. We are now at the right finalizing a deal. And from all accounts, this, I know we're all spooked. I know I'm terrified because of what Satake did to us, but this should, knock on wood, be going through. So we will be talking in hypotheticals, you know, the potential hire, but we, trust me, I would not come on here if I really, 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 really did not think that this was going to happen. Anyway, I'm going on for a minute now, just rambling around. I got to kick it to these guys. Matt Campbell, Matt freaking Campbell, guys. Tim, I'll start with you. I feel like a lot of this, right, we have to talk in kind of what we thought about the hire 2 weeks ago and what we thought now, because, right, just with this entire week from the Satake stuff to, you know, people being very upset at Pat Kraft to the leaked audio from a player last night that really just threw a wrench in this whole thing today. But just, I guess just general thoughts on Penn State, you know, not settling, but finalizing this deal with Matt Campbell and Matt Campbell potentially coming to Penn State.
I know we said to talk in hypotheticals, Pat, but excuse me for a moment, I'm going to pop open this hypothetical athletic brew to celebrate the hypothetical news.
That's already cracked, but
Matt Campbell hypothetically becoming the coach at Penn State. But if this hire had been made, say, 2-3 weeks ago, I'd be fine with it. I'm not going to say I'd hate it, but it'd be like, you still had these other big fish you know, you were swinging at, and then, I don't know, it wouldn't have hit the same like it does now, since we were like scrambling and like desperation mode after the whole Kalani Satake debacle. And I'm not going to say I'm suddenly a Pat Kraft fan, but I guess I'll dial it back with the fire him yesterday talk. Still on thin ice with me, but, I'll give credit where it's due, assuming he did play some role in this. I know there were reports that the president, Neely Bendapudi, and other high-level officials at Penn State were kind of intervening or at least having more say in the search. So I'm sure they had a lot to do with it too. But, just a sense of relief too, really. Just, glad it's over. And we got, by all means, like, a good coach. This is a guy who's been at Iowa State for the last 10 years. He's one of those guys that has done more with less. If you look at he's only had two losing seasons in his 10 years, and that's not easy to do at Iowa State. I mean, that's a program where historically it's very difficult to have sustained success. And I mean, I am old enough to remember the days of when Seneca Wallace was, running around on people, and they would have some really good seasons here and there, but historically not a very good program. So for him to go in there and consistently be putting together winning seasons, and on occasion he'd even put in like a 9, 10, 11 win season.
Two top 15 finishes at Iowa State, which in their 130 years, I believe it was, has never been done. It's only with Matt Campbell. So this was a one of the very worst, power 4, power 5, power 6, whatever, terms, and looking at the grand scheme of college football, one of the very worst jobs. And he has taken it to, I think, just about the peak that it could go. Jared, I'm going to kick to you, right? I kind of said before, like, If you would have said 2 weeks ago Matt Campbell was the hire, I probably would have said, no, you know, that's a solid hire. Probably give it like a B, right? He's in like that tier two with like Brent Key and Eli Drinkwitz and Manny Diaz, right? These sitting power four head coaches that depends upon you know, what you want from the program. After all this, I don't know how it's like. Tim said it. It's like relief is a big part of it, but to bounce back and be able to get someone like Matt Campbell, a plus job on my side of things. What are you thinking of the Matt Campbell hire? Potential hire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the beginning of the search, I wasn't terribly enthused about a Campbell hire, honestly, because I think I just wanted a flasher candidate, them to go out and pull a Kalen DeBoer, Mike Elko, you know, hoping among hope. But, you know, considering the shape this coaching search was in and how close it was from completely going off the rails, Matt Campbell's a phenomenal hire. And, you know, Tim pretty much summed it up when he talked about Iowa State before Matt Campbell. You know, I mean, from, you know, many years and years of watching college football, the only thing, you know, that you can really point to on Iowa State prior to Campbell's tenure was Troy Davis. That was really the only thing I knew a whole lot about Iowa State football, running back. He went back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons and probably would have won a Heisman if he wasn't on Iowa State and Iowa State when they were having losing seasons. But you know, I mean, just the fact that he has consistently won there. Tim mentioned only two losing seasons, and one of those came his first year when he was 3-9. I mean, this is a program that didn't have an NFL draft pick, I think, from 2014 to 19. So they went from, you know, he took over a program that hadn't had a player drafted for about three seasons. And, you know, once his class started coming through, they've had regular draft picks and, you know, quite a few quality players in the NFL right now. So he's done a really great job developing talent. And, you know, I'll just kind of sum it up. Don't want to take up too much time, but just, you know, considering where we were and what we're getting, I think it's a really phenomenal hire considering, you know, what could have been.
Clay, I'll kick it to you. Well, same idea, same question, kind of where were you with Matt Campbell, you know, in the beginning of the search or in the middle of the search? I do think that's also important, just, and I will get to you in a second, Clay. Like, at the beginning of the search, I didn't like Bob Chesney. Like, I was, if he would have told me on October 12th or 13th, like, Bob Chesney would be the hire, I'd be like, don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. As we go along, right, things change. I know for me, like, we could probably go back to that first podcast that we did where I said, I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, I was like, you would just hire Matt Rhule before you hire Matt Campbell. The season changed a lot for Matt Rhule, just say that. But Clay, I'll kick it to you. Kind of where were you with Matt Campbell, you know, before Satake? And I guess where are you with Matt Campbell after this whole?
Yeah, I think we did our draft, and I don't believe that Matt Campbell went off the board, but I'm pretty sure I had Campbell in my very, very large tier C that involved Eli Drinkwitz and Brent Key, as you mentioned before. I had him above Manny Diaz. I think my thing with Campbell was it didn't seem to represent what Pat Kraft said that they were going after. And it didn't seem to still doesn't seem to represent what Pat Kraft inadvertently said to the world that he was going after. However, things change, and you need to work within the scope of the world in which you are existing. It's fine. I think in Matt Campbell, you avoid disaster. For six decades, more or less, granted, Penn State's had, what, four coaches, five coaches in that span? Penn State has won to a fairly large extent. Matt Campbell, if given time and the athletic department doesn't completely implode, which is a notable if, will win. How big he'll win? I don't know. Will he go 11-1 make the semifinals or the finals 1 year? I don't know. Will he go 9-3 and try to sneak in the playoffs? I don't know. But Matt Campbell is not a bad football coach. We know that much. Matt Campbell is not Matt Patricia, who absolutely terrified me. Matt Campbell, I think, is better than Matt Rhule. I think there is a floor that makes everyone breathe a sigh of relief, as we've all said, where 2 days ago we were not sure where that floor was. He's very good at identifying coaching talent. He's had assistants move on. I'm sure we'll get into the Nathan Gilas talk later, who's now the passing game coordinator for the Rams and might be an NFL head coach very soon. Has had position coaches move on to bigger jobs. Very good at identifying talent. He's very good at all of the things that we praised James Franklin for being very good at.
He is similar to James. Yeah.
It is a very much buying the new model of the car with a different coat of paint. However, that may not be the worst thing because Penn State wasn't super far off. And I think everyone realizes that. And maybe sometimes you just need a different voice in the room. Am I blown away? No. Am I disappointed? Also no. And as we said multiple times on the previous podcast, nobody knows anything for 2-3 years. So I am back to the point where I am happy to see what Matt Campbell can do and to find out.
There is hope. And that is, I've said this, I'm a broken record. When these coaching changes come, yes, it's of course you want to get a better coach. I think in Penn State's case, what we thought was going to happen was that they were going to get someone a little bit more aggressive with NIL and like a proven track record of that. I know, like, for me personally, that's why I was very gung-ho.
I don't know why you believe that. What would lead you to believe that?
We might have some leakage now that backs that up, but that's why I know, like, for me personally, the Eli Drinkwitz thing just made a lot of sense of like an offensive-minded guy, even though the Missouri offenses, I know Clay will point out, the Missouri offense actually haven't been that good, right? Eli Drinkwitz, more of an offensive-minded guy, has always been more on the forefront with NIL and aggressive in that space. That is kind of what I thought we were going to get. Campbell definitely is more in the camp of James Franklin, despite the fact that Campbell was an offensive assistant as well, offensive line, though, kind of more dependent on defense. I would say Iowa State teams are generally better defensively than they are offensively, right? Iowa State isn't winning games by scoring 42 points. They're winning games because they're keeping teams under 21 points or under 24 points or whatever it might be. And just even like it is just funny though, because then I go back to like the Satake part of it. If you would have said who are like the two like genuinely like nice, good human beings in college football that like are just college football coaches, like very much like you can't see them ever leaving the game. They just love being a college football coach and all that encompasses. I think two of your top five picks would have been Satake and Campbell. And that is just it is just very funny that is where Kraft went, because Satake doesn't fit at all what we thought Pat Kraft was going to go after. So
I will hop in here. And I think the Satake thing is interesting because the more we learn about how that fell apart, I think that he probably would have been a little more aggressive in NIL than we might have thought.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it is going to be so with BYU.
Maybe that's the case with Matt Campbell. And then
I wonder about Matt Campbell, because there have been reports in the last couple of days that Penn State has kind of supplemented Pat Kraft in the search, whether it is with President Neely Bendapudi, whether it is with other members of the administration. There will be a conversation at some point over the next month and probably in the months to come, until Pat Kraft is no longer the athletic director at Penn State or until Matt Campbell is no longer the head coach at Penn State, as to whose decision this was and how they got to this decision regarding Matt Campbell. But it is certainly a very interesting fit given the idea that Pat Kraft laid out both in his press conference and then in the now leaked footage that will certainly probably come up at some point in this podcast.
Yeah, and we will see. And I think like one of the important things with like any of these coaches is that NIL is something that is new. still. Like, we're still in, I would say, what, like year three of it, like really being a thing. Like, coaches change over time. They begin to accept stuff. Perhaps like Matt Campbell is becoming more accepting of it. Like, again, I have no idea. Maybe he's always been accepting of it. I was always under the impression that, like, even Iowa State, like, wasn't a transfer portal team until I looked at their last transfer portal class, and they brought in tons and tons of guys in the transfer portal. So maybe Matt Campbell is going to be more aggressive. Maybe, you know, what he had at Iowa State, what didn't even allow him to really embrace NIL the way that he will be able to at Penn State. So we will see on that front. I do just want to, because I know we were talking before about, you know, where Iowa State was at before Campbell, where Iowa State was at after Campbell. So they had Johnny Majors and Earl Bruce. Johnny Majors, obviously Pitt coach, and then Earl Bruce, an Ohio State coach. They had those guys who were pretty good. Bruce left after 1978. From 1979 to 2016, Iowa State had one season where they won more than eight games. That was in 2000 when they won nine games. I believe that was Seneca Wallace, Troy Davis, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Matt Campbell has won at least eight games five times from 2017 to 2025. So, you know, just to, you know, really put into perspective, like, where this Iowa State program is, this is like legitimately like Penn State basketball, like one of the very worst, right? Imagine if someone came to Penn State and they, in an 8 year span, took Penn State to March Madness, you know, five times. Like, that would be great. So let's get a little negative though. Tim, what concerns you about Matt Campbell? What are you looking at and you're like, I don't know about this?
I think his biggest question of him is recruiting. You know, it's not the greatest at Iowa State. I mean, he can build up, his staff can develop players well, but they don't get the most highly rated classes. I don't have it pulled up here, but I was watching, I think it was Landon Tangwall's video, and he was mentioning, I think their highest rated recruit is like below the top 500.
Yeah.
Overall. And like, they have a whole bunch of guys that are like ranked lower than 1,000 in the country. And for reference, he said that since 2016, Penn State has only brought in two kids who are ranked below 1,000 overall. So just the level of talent that they bring in to recruit at Penn State is going to be much higher than he can get away with at Iowa State. But I'll say, though, it doesn't concern me as much as it would have maybe 4 or 5 years ago, because now in this era of college football, it's more about how much NIL money do you have to throw around at these recruits. And it sounds to me like there's going to be an even bigger money chest for this NIL stuff. So I think, you know, as long as he's a competent coach, which seems like he checks that box off, and he's personable enough, and, you know, in this day and age also, it's, yeah, you're hiring GM. There's a lot of, like, for lack of a better word, desk jockeys who run the recruiting stuff. And NIL. Oh, so yeah. I think you hire solid, like, GM people, like backroom folks. And as long as Campbell handles the coaching part well, I think recruiting should, at the very least, it should match what we were bringing in at the end of the Franklin era. Hopefully a little better, but time will tell. And I guess also was just wondering, you know, what kind of offense are they going to run? You know, it looks like he's pretty, he also loves tight ends, which, hey, that's cool. You know, it seems like he likes to, him being a former offensive lineman, they want to, I think, do ball control, grind it out, strong running game. You know, they sent Breece Hall to the NFL. But, you know, hopefully we have a decent passing attack with some capable receivers. I mean, I'm just asking for capable receivers. I'm not even asking for, like, you know, a Jeremiah Smith type, but just give me some competent receivers who can get open and make plays. So I guess it's, those parts remain to be seen. But so those would be my concerns.
Jarrett, one of the big things that Matt Campbell is going to have to do is get buy-in from the fan base. And that was a big undertaking, I think, even 2 weeks ago. Perhaps it's even like a bigger undertaking now. How successful do you think Campbell will be at that? And really, just what is his fit like from the personality perspective? He is a fellow Ohio native, just like yourself. So Kind of how do you expect Campbell to fit at Penn State from a cultural perspective?
Yeah, so when Franklin was fired, my initial thought, what I thought was going to be most likely, is Penn State ends up with a coach who overachieved at a smaller program without as many resources. Wasn't going to be somebody who was going to really, wow us with a bunch of national championship rings or anything like that. So my thought that whoever the person was is going to be, it's going to be about 50-50, and we just have to, 50-50 as far as what the fan base, some are going to be in support, some are going to think, this wasn't the best hire, we could have done better. And that, we as a collective, we Penn State fans community, need to go with an open mind because give them some time and see how things work out. So I do think with Campbell, though, he's a very likable guy, Midwestern guy, grew up, in Big Ten country and didn't leave Ohio until he actually took the Iowa State job. He had mentioned that when he was the head coach of Toledo that, that was a big jump for him and his family, because both him and his wife had never lived outside of Ohio. So, I think he's someone who's going to win over the fans pretty easily. He's just got that good workmanlike approach, and he's done a lot with a little at Iowa State. And I think the fan base will really, I think it won't take much for the fan base to buy in. So I'm kind of interested to see how the press conference goes and if he, wins the press conference. But I think he will, and have a lot of people behind him and ready to buy in and see where he can take him.
Clay, I had something for you in a second, but before we get to you, please subscribe to the BSD YouTube channel. You're watching it right now. You're watching or listening, I guess, if you're on Apple or Spotify, but please subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're on Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, give us a like. I'm also just now realizing that I didn't even set up my mic. So I was like, where am I talking into? Usually I'm talking into the mic. Besides the point, we had, I want to say, Tim, can you check how many subscribers we were at?
Let me check.
I think we were at around like 470 or so.
Oh, we can get to 500 easy.
Exactly. There's 211 people watching live right now. If every
single one of you, there are 496 subscribers. So
500 before this ends.
We got 200 of you are watching right now. Uh-huh. If just 4 of you subscribe right now. Go check. Subscribe right now. Get us to 500 before you end the show.
We can we switch that out, that non-alcoholic beer to an alcoholic beer, if we can get us to 500.
We can then monetize, and we'll keep all the money.
Yes, we can get Athletic Brew to try to sponsor us or something. I don't
know. For everyone that is watching that is already subscribed, thank you. We definitely appreciate it. And I know Tim is usually the one that says this stuff, but like the fact that 205 people are watching us live, like, it's just very, very cool. The fact that you guys are interested in our thoughts about Penn State football. So we don't take that for granted. Super cool and appreciate all the support. But yes, please subscribe. Please like the video if you can. I'm going to ask all three of you a question, and I just want a yes or no. At his press conference, potential. If Matt Campbell is hired at his press conference, does he mention the name Joe Paterno? Tim?
Yes.
Jarrett?
Yes.
Clay?
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be a major component, but he'll have a mention of this program built by Joe Paterno or something like that. He'll definitely get a mention in.
He'll get a passing mention. I mean,
he's getting good graces of the Paterno faithful still in the Penn State community.
Yes, I would be quite surprised if he does a mention of some sort. Clay, on that same note, talking about Joe Paterno, former Joe Paterno player, Terry Smith, currently the interim head coach, has been at Penn State all through the Franklin tenure. In an ideal world, Terry Smith sticks around. Do you think that Terry Smith will be on Penn State staff coming up? And what are the chances that he stays, I guess, is better, rather than like a yes or no? Like,
how do we look at that? I really think that there's only so much you can do to mend fences in relationships in this world. And I think Terry Smith, and I wouldn't have hired Terry Smith to say coach, I think Pat Kraft made the right decision. But I would understand that Terry Smith felt very hurt and felt that if he was never given a proper opportunity to become the head coach of this football team, and that's not saying that he should have been. But I think that there is going to be a good amount of hurt feelings, especially if there is potential for him to at least interview for head coaching jobs elsewhere. You never say never, but I don't see how the relationship between Pat Kraft and Terry Smith could ever be repaired. And I don't think you can have a member of Matt Campbell's staff who doesn't trust the person employing Matt Campbell.
Other guys, thoughts on that?
Yeah, Clay summed up pretty well. I just kind of felt that Terry was never considered by Kraft as a legitimate candidate, you know, especially with how long it took him to interview him. And, you know, everything's kind of falling apart, the coaching search, and it seemed like they were still just, you know, well, they weren't. It wasn't like they were still completely focused elsewhere. So I could kind of see some animosity there and Terry Smith deciding, you know, it's time to move on, whether that's, I'm sure that he's got a open invitation to join the Virginia Tech staff as the associate head coach and DB's coach. And like Clay said, you know, there were some reports of Memphis and UConn and maybe others who are seriously interested in him. So, you know, after he got that taste of being a head coach, I'm just curious what direction. Well, I'm just curious what Terry wants most at this point, whether that's to be head coach somewhere else, to, you know, remain building a program with Franklin, to come back into Penn State and be a DB's coach if he would get that opportunity. So, you know, it's just going to kind of come down to a little bit of what he wants. But I think I'm with Clay. I would say it's 60-40 that he's elsewhere outside of State College next season.
Yeah, I'm with Jared and Clay. Maybe just a week or two ago, I would have thought it was more likely than not that Terry would remain on staff, whether it's, he goes back to being DB's coach or I don't know, takes on some like front office position or something. But I don't know, just with, like I said, with the way the search has gone and how it didn't seem like Kraft even considered trying to promote him after the Satake deal fell through. And just, I'm sure we'll talk about this next, but with the leaked audio that came out last night of Pat Kraft meeting with the players, I think it was sometime after Franklin had been fired. I don't know when exactly, but
prior to the Rutgers game is what had been reported.
Yeah. Okay, so but
we can talk about it now, Tim, just because I do, you know, just with all this still being, you know, finalizing a deal and potentially, like, I don't want to necessarily talk about like Rocco Becht or Ethan Grunkmeyer and who's going to come over and this, that, and the other thing. Like, we will have plenty of time to discuss all of that stuff. I just want us to get the, you know, the initial reactions of this potentially happening. So
thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Greatly appreciate it. Let's talk about the leaked audio. Just to set the stage in case people missed it, there is a random YouTuber. I only had like 7,000 subscribers, which is a lot, but also like not that much in like the grand scheme of things, who somehow got leaked audio of Pat Kraft meeting with what sounded like the leadership council. Anthony Donko's voice is definitely in there. Tony Rojas is definitely there. I believe Dom DeLuca is in the room. It seems King like Mac. What was that?
King Mac.
Yeah, it sounds like King Mac is in there. He's talking about Alabama. Drew Aller, I think, is in the room because at one point Pat Kraft says, "Wouldn't you like Carnell Tate?" to Drew Aller, which, if you remember some of the rumors last offseason, that adds up. But anyway, so Kraft said a whole bunch. He said the F word a lot, so that's the one thing. He said the F word a lot. He said that Oregon is in the middle of nowhere and there are a bunch of weirdos. He said Michigan cheated their you-know-whats off. In the grand scheme of things, right, nothing like that, like nothing like actually like bad, but definitely like in poor taste, right? Things that you wouldn't say in the public sphere. And to be clear, they were not in the public sphere. They were in a meeting with the leadership council after the Nebraska game, heading into the Rutgers game. Pennsylvania is a two consent state. So whoever did this very much committed a felony. I don't know if it'll get to that point, but this is, it was super illegal. And hopefully it just is, I don't want to say it dies down, but it's just an ugly situation, So Tim, I'll bounce it back to you. Just what were your thoughts hearing that? Cause it was leaked. I assumed it was leaked with the intention of making Pat Kraft look bad. And Penn State fans are like kind of eating up. They're like, you know what? This guy's making a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I'll admit, I only listened to maybe the first like 10, 15 minutes of it. Cause it was,
you
like
got the basis of it. Yeah.
But I kind of read some summaries. I mean, but it, even from what I listened to, I mean, it actually makes Kraft come off, you know, better than he's come off, you know, just in general with the search process. But just, you know, he acts like a guy who really cares about, you know, fielding a championship program at Penn State. And he talks, you know, he mentions stuff about, yeah, you know, got to get, you know, younger guys more action, referring to Kobe Howard and Tyson Denmark. And, you know, I think, yeah, they kind of call out Don DeLuca there but you know, yeah, and the comments were, I was laughing at the comments on like Oregon and Michigan and all that. It does make him sound a little more personable in a way, I guess. It also does kind of come off like someone who has an agenda, like probably wants Terry Smith to get the job. They're mad that's not going to be the case. Leak that to try to, you know, hurt Kraft even further than his image is already hurt. But like you said, it actually backfired and made people a little more sympathetic towards Kraft. So I don't know what's going to happen as a result of this in the long run, but those are just my thoughts.
Jarrett, thoughts on the leak and potential fallout of it? I don't think it greatly, like, I don't think it really means much for if Kraft gets fired or not. Like, everything that happened before the leakage, like the Satake thing, would be more of the catalyst for that if anything happens. But what were your takeaways from the leak?
He sounded like someone who was very, and this was, I'm assuming, the case. He was in the room with someone who was one versus 20, 25 people who had a very different opinion than him. And he was very, I mean, obviously came off as a defensive, but someone who was really, you know, kind of entrenched in something and trying to get that point across, that why he's trying to do what he's trying to do. And I'm sure, you know, it's been a very, you know, you could tell by his voice and his expressions, it's been a very frustrating process for him. And he's got a lot of conflicting opinions, and he's very, you know, he has back against a wall. So I don't know if he said a lot of things that were untrue, but definitely didn't come with much polish. I'll put it that way. He could have made his point in a little more politically astute, you know, a little more, I don't want to say softer, but just a more
professional,
I guess, rather than just kind of trying to, it was almost like he kind of came in a bit aggressive and was just trying to like forcefully explain, like, you know, this is why I'm where I'm at and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you guys need to understand this.
Clay. By the way, I'll let you go, Clay.
Yeah, Clay, thoughts on the leak.
I was going to say, first of all, this man could not wait to fire James Franklin. I think lost in all of this is that he and James Franklin, there have been reports, not for a short period of time, dating back to last year before, that they have not always been on the same page. And it now seems very clear that they did not see eye to eye about NIL usage, about
what was the number of players being paid by
103, I was told. About NIL usage, about staffing, about who plays. Now, I don't know that I super want my athletic director having an opinion on who plays and how much. That was a tad worrisome. But there was a lot in there, I think, that got lost about the fact that, man, when Pat Kraft got the opportunity to fire James Franklin, he was taking that chance and putting his stamp on this program. Now, I will credit Pat Kraft because he did state then that, look, if I screw this up, if I fired this guy and the guy I bring in isn't as good as the guy that you had or better, I'm not working in a job of this caliber again. To Jared's point, I think I agreed with a lot of the sentiment. And I also think that there's was a bit of people were kind of up in arms over the vulgarity and the usage. I think that's a bit silly. I think you're in a room with 10 people in a personal conversation, all of which are adults, even if they are young adults. I guarantee you the players have heard far worse. That being said, I do appreciate and understand the idea that Pat Kraft is supposed to be a professional speaking to students. Now, if we want to discuss the world of college football and what college football players are these days, that is an off-season podcast, a later in the off-season podcast. But I do understand the perspective of thinking that maybe he could have gotten the same points across without speaking to the players like they were his friends at Sharky's down around the corner.
Yeah. Or that he is a football coach. I do think that distinction needs to be made, though, of like when we talk about, you know, he's an administrator talking to students like this. Like, dude, the academia world versus like
the athletic director world,
the athletic like sphere of academia is like night and day. Like it's like a student at Penn State, like my experience compared to a student that is a football player. Like, we might as well not even have really gone to the same school. I mean, Drew Allard said during the season, right? He just like flat out doesn't go in the hub. Like, it's just athletics is just such a different thing, like all around. And that is obviously going to be the case when it comes to the vice president of athletics as opposed to the vice president of engineering. So, again, bad look. Don't be, you know, maybe don't just as a whole, don't say the F word like that often. Like, it shouldn't be that much of a comfort word for you. If you say it, I mean, it's fine, but I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was going to be a lot more damning than it was. Other than the, you know, calling Oregon people weirdos and saying Michigan cheated and stuff like that. Like,
I mean, they did cheat.
If you listen to Pat Kraft, they definitely cheated. All right. I'm going to get us out of here. One last question. Knowing what we know, right? I started this by saying, right, it can be tough for us to, you know, grade the hire pre-Sitake and grade it like post-Sitake if the hire comes. Again, all hypothetical right now. But trying to like mend those two on a scale 1 to 10, what are you giving this hire if it happens? Tim, we'll start with you.
I give it a 9, actually, just considering where the search was headed, to still be able to land someone at Campbell's caliber this late in the game, was a nice turnaround. This had been done a couple weeks ago, I would have given it more like a 6 or 7, but, I definitely give it a, yeah, but I give it a, yeah, I give them like an 8 or a 9. So solid hire.
Jared?
I just want to say at this point, I kind of feel like Penn State's beating Ohio State or Michigan by 12 or 13 in the fourth quarter. So feeling good, but I'm not going to like be really comfortable and celebrate until we hear directly from Penn State. Hey, to hire, and his name is Matt Campbell. But to answer your question, I think I'm with Tim here. I'm at an eight. And the same thing that he said, you know, a few weeks back or beginning the search, if you told Matt Campbell, I said, okay, that's a good hire, but nothing, you know, that I'm, you know, going to be jumping for joy for. But considering what I was concerned about and some of the names being thrown up, I mean, there were interviews with Tommy Rees, the Browns' current offensive coordinator. So, you know, when you were considering some other names I thought we may have to settle for, I'm very pleased with Campbell at this point. I'll put it that way. So, yeah, I'll give him an eight.
Clay?
Probably the tougher one then. I'll split the difference between my two numbers. I'll go 6.5 so that Patrick doesn't do the meme. But I like Matt Campbell as both a human and a very solid football coach. I don't know how much it changes the position of your program.
Yeah.
And there is a risk that comes with it. I think that it is less of a risk than you could have taken. But I also, I think that there's also less of a chance that he just hits a home run and is the guy to take Penn State to wins over Ohio State, to Oregon, and anybody that thinks that Penn State is going to compete with Ohio State every single year is wrong. I'm sorry. I hate that for you, but it's not going to happen in today's climate. But I think that you had to make the hire to hope that you could get a coach that could once every 2-3 years catch lightning in a bottle and beat an Ohio State, beat a Michigan, be a top five team, make a run to the semifinals with legitimate wins over programs that are considered national powers. And I'm not convinced I see that in Matt Campbell, but you put yourself in a situation where these were your options. So and from that sentiment, yes, it is a better hire. However, we are also working from the context of the fact that you put yourself in that situation.
There is no proof, none, this guy can win a championship.
He did win a Big 12 championship.
This can also be said about – he never won
a Big 12. Any coach.
He just played – he coached in two. But there is no proof of – almost any, like, unless they hired Dabo Sweeney or Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or Ryan Day, like, there's no proof, right? If they hired Dan Lanning, we could be saying that he hasn't.
Exactly.
There's no proof he's, you know.
Yeah, there was no way Penn State would have been hiring someone that you could say that about.
And as I have been saying since the very beginning of all this, coaching hires are about re-energizing the fan base. They're about giving people hope. Even if it's not all that different from James Franklin, it's something different. People were sick and tired of, like, James. I'm not saying, like, James the person is a bad person. I think we were all just sick and tired of
the next one another tweet would have driven somebody off of a cliff.
Yes. And this has been mentioned before. It's the same thing with, like, the Eagles and Andy Reid back in the day. Like, Andy Reid, when the Eagles fired him, everyone knew he was still a top five coach in the NFL. Like, that, the issue wasn't, like, oh, Andy Reid is incompetent, or Andy Reid is a bad coach, or the next coach that we're going to get is for sure going to be better than Andy Reid. It was just that had run its course, and it was healthy for everyone to move forward and do something else. So just saying that, I also am in the, you know, the 7.5 range. It's just, right, tough for me to, like, look at where we were at even, you know, 48 hours ago, where this thing could have got really, really, really bad. Like, really bad. Like, I
love Matt Patricia, like, bad.
And even Brian Daboll, like, I really like Brian Daboll. I've said this from the beginning. Like, before the Satake thing, if they would have went with Daboll, I would have been, like, very pumped about it, would have thought he would have done really well. They put themselves so far behind the eight ball with this. It was like you almost had to throw everything that you thought you could potentially do out and just get the safe hire, get the guy with a high floor, and who knows? We'll see what Campbell can do with better resources and stuff like that. But yeah, I give it 7.5, give it an 8. A lot of that is relief. Is he better than James Franklin? I don't know. Probably not. But it's also unfair to compare coaches one coach that was at Iowa State and another coach that was at Penn State for the last 10 years.
Doug Peterson's not a better coach than Andy Reid.
Yeah, no, exactly, right? And Doug Peterson, yet, you know, Nick Sirianni. I very much would say that Nick Sirianni is not a better coach than Andy Reid, but yet.
And
Andy
speaking Reid, of Nick Sirianni, Pat, maybe you read roommates. This, but he and
college roommate with Matt Campbell. Yep.
He and Matt Campbell were college roommates.
Winners, so. Baby, winners.
Also, love that Matt Campbell went to Pitt for 1 year and then said, "This place stinks. I'm getting out." So clearly knows
native Ohio and Mount Union, so Division III powerhouse program.
Would you guys have taken Heartland over Campbell?
Yes. Yes. Quickly. Yes.
You know,
I probably
would have been more intrigued with Heartline just because, you know, Ohio State guy, you know, top notch recruiter, bring in like elite.
But I'm also not to jump in here and talk over Tim, but I was also way more open to risk than I think a lot of Penn State fans were, and that's fair. I am at a point where I would have been happy if Penn State had hired somebody and they fell on their face and went 5-7 because I thought that they could go 11-1 and win more games in exciting ways, and I believed that they could win a championship. But also, as we said to begin with, nobody knows anything, so. What I think doesn't matter. Like,
there,
because clearly a lot of people in the athletic department world across the country would not have taken Brian Hartline, or Brian Hartline would be in a job right now that's not USF.
Yeah, I was big on Hartline.
Just to be clear, I'm not exactly sure what Grundy is arguing here. Like, there's this pre-Sataki takes and there's the post-Sataki takes. Like, if Penn State on November 10th said, we're going to put the resources behind Brian Hartline, like, that is a lot different than hiring him now, like, after all this. I think, like, after the Sataki stuff happened, they needed someone with a higher floor, someone that was much more competent. I like the idea of Brian Hartline a lot. Like, not to pat myself on the back, like, I feel like I was one of the very first people that was saying, like, Brian Hartline, Brian Hartline, Brian Hartline. Clearly, he is not the interviewer or the potential head coach that we think he is. He is interviewed.
The college football world does not see Brian Hartline.
He is interviewed at West Virginia. He is interviewed at UCLA.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think it's at Cincinnati.
I think UCLA also was interested in him too, though.
Yeah. Prior to Deshaun Foster. And even a place like Kentucky. His brother went to Kentucky. There's ties there. They went with Will Stein, who also good candidate. I don't know what I don't know about Brian Hartline is kind of like my take on it. Like, I don't think like Kraft, you know, shit the bed because he's going to South Florida. I think him going to South Florida says a lot more about him as a potential candidate. Yes. I think Brian Hartline's going to be a really good coach. There's clearly something that these Power Four programs did not want to hire him for because he should have been on the fast track like a Dan Lanning. But
I will note,
and there were a lot of openings.
Former Ohio State reporter and current Extra Points reporter, Matt Brown, former SB Nation employee,
yes.
Matt Brown, has noted that there is – I want to make sure that I'm using the correct term here, so don't quote me, and this is not a direct quote. There is some background stuff on Brian Hartline that is not public knowledge that has turned people off about Brian Hartline.
Well, even what is public knowledge was the ATV accident that he was in 2 summers ago where he was allegedly drinking. So just want to put all of that out there.
So there are elements with Brian Hartline that we are not privy to that made him a less attractive candidate to not just Penn State, but to several Power Four jobs that turned him down.
Jarrett, go ahead.
Yeah, there were a lot of openings between there's a lot of openings between, you know, a Penn State level and South Florida where he landed. So, you know, to your guys' point, obviously there's something there that you can't just point the finger at Kraft and said he screwed up by not hiring him. But, you know, it's obvious that Arkansas and Auburn and Kentucky and all these other schools that were, you know, UCLA, all these other schools that were looking for openings didn't swoop in and grab him either. So
Right.
We don't know that allegedly. Allegedly. That's the commenter saying that. That's not us saying that. I have no idea. It's
from official G6451. So
legally.
Also, like this comment here from Sean McLaughlin. Last time Penn State reached into Iowa State for a coach, Cale Sanderson worked out pretty well. Could not agree with you more, sir.
Also, there is a – before Pat gets us out of here, there is a clip circulating of Matt Campbell today about Matt Campbell in 2021, I believe it may have been 2023, was asked about winning a Big 12 championship and being the goal. And Campbell said – and then this they had fallen short of that. And Campbell said that his team's goal was to be the best versions of themselves, which when you're losing – is a wildly frustrating thing to hear a coach say. When you're winning, it's completely fine. And while we are referencing Penn State hiring Cale Sanderson, I do not believe that Matt Campbell is going to sniff the level of success that Cale Sanderson had. That's fine.
There's also Cale a Sanderson video. Has won
10 championships in 14 years. And his answer at every single press conference is the goal is to be the best version of ourselves as human beings and as wrestlers. Getting upset over coach speak is making yourself mad for the sake of making yourself mad.
There's also a video out there of Matt Campbell attempting to fight an Iowa State fan who said he was on the hot seat. So you have to think that Campbell will talk to James at some point and James will say, so here are the best spots to fight fans. I could go over the first time I fought a fan, the second time, the third time. Also on a recruiting visit, I tried fighting some high school kids and called them D-bags. So yeah, I'm sure they'll connect about that stuff and they'll catch up and they'll be able to, you know, what's the best way to fight a fan of your stadium? So excited for that conversation.
All right. I got to address another comment. And
oh, go ahead, Tim.
We maybe all can chime in too.
We're going to actually take off here, guys. So I appreciate you guys having me.
We're seeing you, Clay.
See you, Clay. So, Henrik Huckleberry says, we're going to stink for the next couple of seasons. This sucks. We should have gone out and hired Deion Sanders. Look, we have a long ways to go until the start of the 2026 football season. We got to see, assuming this hire gets fine, you know, becomes official, you know, he's going to have time to, you know, talk to me with the current players, work the portal, bring guys from his own team in, and build a roster to his liking. And yeah, I mean, it is, I don't know, who knows how next year, the schedule is not quite as daunting. I know they have
no Ohio State,
no Oregon. You do get USC at home. You got to go to Michigan on the road and there's a trip to Washington, which, you know, that could be tricky. But overall the non-conference slates once again, fairly doable. So in the Big Ten, slate's not quite as bad. So there's potential to be decent. And come on, Deion Sanders, really? Have you seen what Deion's doing at Colorado?
Yeah, it's the same conference as Iowa State and, you know, not really too as well.
Has Matt Campbell gotten the quarterback's number retired like Deion did? I don't think he has. That's on the Deion.
He's not on athlete commercials either, so another knock against him.
All right, well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the roster, potential transfers, the assistant coaching searches. That's the best part of all this. This is only the beginning, guys. Last question, real quick. I'm going to keep you at 30 seconds each. If Matt Campbell backs out of this, do we just stop?
Just stop doing the show. Just stop paying attention to Penn State football. Just
keep going.
Penn State to stop having a football program.
Like put in my resignation with BSD tomorrow. Find out tonight that they pulled out. I mean, I don't know. I guess I would just stop. Period.
Jarrett, we're stopping.
No, we'll keep chugging along. It'll just encourage us more. So
we'll just become a club team. It's fine. We'll just we'll go and we'll dominate the club football scene. I don't even know if there is club football, but maybe we'll start it. Maybe we'll start it. All right, that's all we got. Hopefully this all goes through. If not, we, along with a lot of other people, because I will say, like, Cover 3 did their Matt Campbell episode today. I saw Ty and the Solid Verbal did theirs. I know the On Three guys, Andy Staples, did his. So we were not the first. Hopefully we're not the last either, because, man, we will look like idiots if he doesn't come here. But, yeah, fingers crossed.
Yes.
I think it'll happen
at some point tonight. Before I go to bed, I want to see that.
Yes, please, 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 please. All right. We will be back. Well, we got to figure that out. I don't know when we'll be back. At some point next week, God willing. God willing, we're back next week, and there's no reason for us to jump on over the weekend. That is all I will say. I'm not going to go any further than that. So thank you, everyone, for joining. Once again, please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you can. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, please give us a 5-star review as well. And for those that are on YouTube, after you subscribe, make sure you like the video too. Greatly, greatly appreciate the support and everyone who watched and commented. We will see when we see you.